VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, thank you for joining us to a very important program here today on Crosstalk. As you know, Mother's Day is a time of honoring moms and motherhood. But in Madison, Wisconsin yesterday, a clandestine leftist anarchist group attacked the offices of Wisconsin Family Action. Wisconsin Family Action is a group that believes in the sanctity of human life. Last week, a draft was leaked from the highest court indicating a reversal of Roe v. Wade is coming. And now we have seen a further example at the hate, the intolerance against humanity. But should it surprise us that those who are committed to acts of violence against an innocent, helpless, unborn baby in the womb would stop at nothing, including firebombs and vandalism and destruction and threats to those who are standing for the sanctity of human life? Joining us today, we welcome Julaine Appling, the president of Wisconsin Family Action. They are the group that was targeted yesterday. They are a group that advocates for marriage, family, life, and liberty. Julaine, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.
So, Julaine, if you would take us to yesterday morning, Mother's Day, unfold for us what took place.
Well, you know, I just can't get past the irony that all of this was on Mother's Day, Jim, because I was where I am always on Sunday morning, right? I'm either getting ready for church or I am in church. It happens I was in church yesterday. Excuse me. We had a Mother's Day brunch for the ladies in our church, and I was over there at 7:30 in the morning helping to get that ready. And about a quarter to eight, I got a phone call from the building management in our office here in Madison telling me that there had been a break-in in our office. A couple of windows had been broken. Two Molotov cocktails had been thrown into my office. They were targeting my office in particular on this little rampage, and that they had started a fire. Building management told me that the police had been there, the fire department had been there, and they had put out the fire, and that there had also been graffiti put on two walls outside our office, two exterior walls. And that at that point, Jim, I did not know what the graffiti said. Nobody told me. But in the meantime, I was getting ready to leave the church to come to Madison, and people were coming into church and said, "Hey, Julaine, there are policemen at your house in Watertown." So I immediately went to my home before I came to Madison and talked to the police there. They had been apprised of what had happened and had been asked by the Madison police to connect with me because Madison police didn't have my contact information. So we got all that squared away, came to Madison, drove up, and the first thing I saw was the graffiti. En route to Madison, Jim, one of the police officers here in Madison called me to talk about some of the details, and she never told me what the graffiti said either, but she did ask me this question. "Julaine, do you have any idea what might have provoked this?" And I said, "I absolutely do. I believe this is directly connected to the leaking of that U.S. Supreme Court draft opinion on a case that could overturn Roe v. Wade." Mm-hmm. And she stopped me and said, "Well, let's just say that the graffiti would seem to indicate that that is the case." She never told me what it said. So when I drove up and I saw, "If abortions are safe, then," excuse me, I said that wrong. "If abortions are not safe, then you are not either."
Wow.
A direct threat.
Yes.
A direct threat on there. And then on the side, on an not adjacent wall, but one that's right there by the window into our office, there was a symbol that the anarchists use. Apparently, I'm not a real student of anarchy, okay? But it was a circle with an A in it, and next to that, the numerals 1312. And we did some research, and we found that that was a typical symbol for basically, I guess, any group that considers themselves anarchists. And the 1312 is code for, in foul language, they would say, and I'll put it in proper language and, you know, acceptable language, but all cops are bad, right? And so I don't know. We don't know if, and the police didn't either, didn't know if they were taking credit for what happened or if they were just giving yet another protest message there on that wall. So obviously that group is anti-police, but that's what we encountered. I came into the office, the smoke, the smell of smoke, the acrid smell, Jim, was just overwhelming, really, when we walked into the building, and down the hall to our office and came in. And my office was the one targeted, as I said. When they blew out those windows, the glass went everywhere. Glass is all over the place. It's all over the floor, my desk, my chair, my computer table.
Let me just interrupt you. Was there anybody in there, anybody that would have been injured at this time?
No, because we were all in church or getting ready for church.
Praise
it was Sunday
Lord.
Morning.
Yes.
You know, Jim, there, an observation about the thugs who do this kind of thing. They're going to always do this under the cloak of darkness. They don't have the courage to do things in the light of day. So, you know, fortunately, because of that, we didn't have anybody in the office. Somebody could have been hurt. There's no doubt about it. One of the Molotov cocktails apparently did not go off as they had hoped it would. One did, because it did quite a bit of damage. But even one, I mean, look, this is kind of the kind of activity that you see in dictatorships and places where anarchy is very real. Right?
Yes.
Totalitarian type governance. This is not, this should not, it dare not become typical of us in the United States of America.
So, Jelaine, you went in, you saw your office, you saw the shattered glass everywhere. What else did you see?
Well, by this time, the building, of course, had been notified about this by the police, and they came over and had already put up a large piece of plywood to at least, you know, protect us from the elements and from somebody coming directly through the broken windows.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, and they had, you know, put out the fire, so there was water damage, there was smoke damage everywhere. And you could tell on the windowsill, and we've pretty much, I think we've got the pictures out of the of what the place looked like when we stepped in. Books had been on the bookshelf. Books were all over the floor, burned books. And ironically, Jim, you know me well enough to know the kind of books I would collect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there they were, books talking about pro-life positions and pro-family positions and pro-religious freedom positions out there, all spread out all over the floor. And but the heat from that fire, Jim, actually melted the little handle, the wand that comes down from a set of mini blinds.
Yes.
It melted it.
Wow.
And the fire had gone down into the sidewall and burned down through there and burned over to the next set of windows, because when I saw the office, they had pulled off the next windowsill because it had been burned, and it had been burned inside between the interior wall and the exterior wall. So there was quite a bit of damage, and obviously the window frame was obviously burned. It was just mayhem, and outside the window, and I don't know how this happened, if the police department, the fire department did this, but there were books and other things that had been tossed out of, and in retrospect, thinking about it was probably the thugs who did this, because they reached inside to ignite a fire. And fortunately, this is God's protection, because really, I think they probably could have burned down the whole building if they had been truly successful. But, when you burn books, they don't burn well, because they're so dense and tightly packed. And I had them crammed in there across the whole windowsill. And so that allowed that to not immediately ignite into flames. It kind of smoldered for a while before it took off on flames. I will tell you that the way this got reported was someone about 6 o'clock in the morning yesterday was coming through here en route to the Madison Airport, because we're only like half a mile from the Madison Airport. And they saw smoke. And some people reported they saw flames coming out our window. And they reported it to the local fire department.
So they responded, and one thing fell after another then, as far as word getting to you.
Right. And it was kind of funny, because we have one staff member who works remotely all the time, and she works for us from Michigan. So I'm in our church working to get this Mother's Day brunch done, and I don't hear my phone, but I hear a friend's phone go off, and she happens to work for us. And I thought, oh, I think I know who this is. It was somebody we were expecting to arrive to be the speaker for this Mother's Day thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked it up, and I was going to answer it. And I looked at it, and I thought, oh, my word, this is her name's Leslie. This is Leslie. What's she calling for this early? And I picked up the phone, and she said, Jelaine, you got to read your text message. You got to call the building people right away. We've had an incident at the office. So I hung up from that, grabbed the phone, and called them. And they said, you know, proceeded to explain to me what had happened and what had transpired as far as the law enforcement and the fire department. And when I got here, shortly after I got here, the arsonist unit, I believe is what it was, showed up and talked with us. Eventually, Jim, truly, before very long, we had two representatives from the FBI here. We had one gentleman from the ATF group federally was here. We had detectives here. We had local law enforcement. And, you know, again, like I said, the fire department doing their arsonist investigation. So the office was incredibly busy yesterday with that and media people in and out all day long.
Well, again, Wisconsin Family Council, Wisconsin Family Action. I mean, you're a group that advocates for marriage, family, life, and liberty. I mean, the very foundations and traditions of our nation. And because of this, it appears, especially through the graffiti, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either, that you're targeted on standing for life.
Well, you know, today it's life, Jim. But you know... who we are and what we do well enough to know it could have been any number of issues for
yes.
us, right?
Right.
Because the left is now at the point where whenever they get upset with something or they disagree with an opinion or a position, their answer is almost immediately, let's do violence.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, you know, look what's happening in Washington, D.C. today, right?
Yes.
They're protesting in front of the justices' houses and threatening their families. I don't know how that's legal, but because they are federal officials, right? And seems to me that's a direct threat on them. But this is becoming their almost knee-jerk reaction to everything right now. Bully, intimidate, try to shut down, use scare tactics. If necessary, use violence. And they find that to be using violence to be more frequent than it should ever be. Violence isn't the answer to this issue. Violence isn't the answer to a disagreement on, albeit a very important policy issue and cultural issue. Certainly that is the issue of life, is all of that. But violence is not how we should be addressing it. And that's one of the distressing things about this. I think this happens in part, Jim, in part, okay? I'm not making a direct accusation. I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. But when you have a void in leadership, in your governor's office, in your AG's office, in, you know, your mayor's office, or maybe even in your chief of police, or certainly in the White House, when those kinds of things happen, and there is kind of a wink and a nod at violence across the country or across a state, people feel very emboldened to keep doing it. And that statement out there, and by the way, I came in just a few minutes ago, and I noticed that the building had already painted over the graffiti. So I'm glad we recorded it for posterity, for sure. But when we saw that, I asked the police, is this a one and done? Or should we be, you know, super, super cautious right now? Because that was a direct threat
mm-hmm.
to us.
Yes. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here. Jelaine Appling is with us, president of Wisconsin Family Action. And folks, they are a group that advocates for marriage, family, life, and liberty. And attacked yesterday on Mother's Day with this Molotov cocktail thrown in, a fire set ablaze in the office with a message then in graffiti, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a butterfly an example of evolution?
No, it certainly is not, Chris. The caterpillar has all the genes necessary for it to alter its shape into a butterfly and then lay eggs which could turn into a caterpillar. This is not evolution. It's simply growth. In fact, this is one of the greatest arguments against evolution. What could cause a perfectly happy caterpillar to attach itself to a tree and dissolve into a mass of jelly and come out with wings and legs and everything that a butterfly has? Natural selection would not do this. All of the genes would have to be present at the beginning and could not have been gained one by one. Chris, I think you recognize this as an evolutionary just-so story. A much better story is the one we read when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Julaine Appling from Wisconsin Family Council, Wisconsin Family Action, and they're a group, as we said, they advocate for marriage. I mean, they advocate for traditional biblical family values. They advocate for family. They advocate for the dignity and the sanctity of human life. Yesterday, attacked with Molotov cocktails, broken windows, shattered windows, the Molotov cocktails thrown in, a fire ensued, and much damage taking place in her office. And here we have the graffiti that was spray painted on the wall. If abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either, with appears to be a direct reference to the leak from the U.S. Supreme Court, indicating that in that first draft by Samuel Alito that Roe v. Wade is due to the dustbin, or the ashes of the dustbin of history or whatever. And certainly this is something that is directly related through that graffiti message. Julaine Appling is with us here today. And Julaine, it's very disturbing what's taking place. Not only this act, but other things that are taking place. For instance, I understand that your voicemails there have been outrageously violent and graphic and condemning of your organization.
Well, they have. So a number of them have been direct threats against us, Jim. A number of them have also been just, you know, laced with vulgar. It sometimes they're just like two-word vocabularies that these folks have. They're angry. We've had some on there with just very. I had a couple this morning that came through that just laughed, this horrible laugh, saying, "So you had some problems there, I hear." Ha ha ha. I mean, and what's interesting about this is we have the ability, you know, through the phones that we system we have, to find out what phone numbers they came in on, right?
Yes.
So they are so brazen, they aren't even doing anything to block their phone numbers from being discovered. We're gonna do what we have to do with them.
Yes. Is law enforcement, are they cordial working with you through this? I mean, will they track down these numbers and follow through?
Well, I hope so. As we speak, there is a press conference going on here in Madison, and one of our team members is monitoring it. And I would assume that, you know, they're giving out the information. We have not heard anything today that's new. I did contact them last night when we got a very overt death threat from some of these folks to two of our team members. And I didn't get that same call, but I think at least two or three of our team did.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to know about that. I haven't heard back from them. I'm assuming they were prepping for the press conference and stuff, but I'm going to keep reporting that they need to know this is happening. And until and unless we shut these kinds of things down, soundly down, then they will continue to feel emboldened to take these kinds of actions. This is a form of definitely spiritual warfare. Okay, abortion is the issue, and that is not a political issue. That is a biblical moral issue of the highest magnitude.
Yeah.
And so we're battling, all of us, Jim, you all at VCY America, all of us that are in this particular culture war, call it what you will, we are battling against spiritual beings in heavenly places and powers and darkness and, you know, rulers of wickedness and all of that. We cannot miss that right now. And I'll just say this. It might appear to some that Satan has the upper hand right now. That is not true. That is fundamentally flawed thinking. God is in control of this. None of this took him by surprise. I don't know why he allowed it to happen or why it happened to us, but that's the reality. And so we all have to figure out how do we respond correctly, and part of the response has to be that law enforcement takes this very seriously, looks to bring these people to justice, and does so as swiftly as possible.
Well, and this is where I question Julianne, because here we have the state's top cop, the attorney general of the state of Wisconsin, said, well, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, I'm not going to enforce that here. I'm not going to enforce a law.
Well, yes, Josh Call came out in February and said that when all of this kind of percolated after the hearings at the Supreme Court. And then he reiterated it last week after Monday when the draft was leaked. But this is consistent with Josh Call. He has made no bones about it that he is in favor of abortion. He supports Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. And now he is saying, I am willing, as the top law enforcer in this state, to ignore the law that has been on the books since 1849. I am not going to enforce it. Now, that is, in my opinion, a blatant overreach of his authority. He doesn't get to pick and choose because he disagrees with a law that was duly passed. And what do we mean by duly passed? It was passed by the elected representatives of the state of Wisconsin and signed into law by a duly elected governor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't get to say, well, I don't like that law. I'm not going to enforce it. No, that doesn't come with the job of the attorney general. Mr. Call, your job is to enforce the law as it is written. You don't get to pick and choose. So he's been very vocal about that. And, you know, I think I saw a statement on Twitter yesterday where he came out and kind of gave what I call a pablum response to what happened to us. You know, and well, we don't condone violence. That's what the governor said, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, Jim, but condoning violence, saying we don't condone violence, is very different from saying we condemn this.
Right.
We condemn it, and we will bring the forces and resources of the state of Wisconsin and at the federal level, because the Biden administration has weighed in on this as well, in a similar way, and the resources of the federal government to bear to find these people and to hold them accountable.
Well, here we have Governor Tony Evers yesterday, his tweets. We condemn violence and hatred in all forms, including the actions at Wisconsin Family Action in Madison last night. We reject violence against any person for disagreeing with another's view. Violence is not the way forward. Hurting others is never the answer. Then his next tweet, we will work against overturning Roe and attacks on reproductive rights by leading with empathy and compassion. We'll defend what we believe in with our words and our voices in the streets and halls of government and at the ballot box. In Wisconsin, we must lead by example. Where's his calling? I'm calling upon my Justice Department. Where is that statement? You know, to launch a full investigation. We will not tolerate this as a state. I did not see that in his tweet.
Well, and on purpose. This is so typical of Governor Evers. You know, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin raised and spent well over $700,000 to help him get elected. He has pandered to Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin over and over and over again over the last now going on 4 years. Just recently, he took federal COVID relief money, right, which is our tax dollars that we gave to the federal government, and he has given them $2.4 million just because they're friends of his, basically, right? So nothing about this surprises me from this governor. And in essence, what he said was, well, we aren't in agreement with this, but we really aren't going to back away at all from our position on this. And if I heard you right when you read that, in the streets, right? Didn't he say in the streets?
In the streets and in the halls of government.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, so in the streets. That seems to me to be saying, you know, you guys go ahead, do your thing in the streets. Maybe we'll make it look like Kenosha. Maybe we'll make it look like Madison in 2020. Because I think we all remember what happened, right?
Yeah.
He took a pass on stopping the violence in Kenosha in particular that resulted in the killing and people dying and millions of dollars of property damage in Kenosha.
Let me throw this into as well, because last week we saw former President Barack Hussein Obama and his wife in essence go back to community organizing because they called for national protest if the Supreme Court does, in fact, throw out Roe v. Wade, saying this: we're asking you to join with the activists who've been sounding the alarm on this issue for years and act. stand with them at a local protest. And the statement goes on after that. But this, you know, sound the alarm on the issue for years and act. And that's what individuals like this are doing. They are acting. They're breaking, smashing windows, throwing the Molotov cocktails into the office, setting fire on there. And we're acting on this, and we're seeing, in essence, violence begetting violence, violence in the womb. And when this attack on the innocent human life is in jeopardy, we've got to act out this violence in other means.
Well, in my opinion, Jim, and I think you're expressing it as well. What former President Obama said in there, he actually is implicitly saying, use violence if you need to. And the reason I say that is there's a pattern. There is a pattern. They don't protest peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do we have to see it? Their protests escalate. I don't know. We know that in Kenosha and Madison in 2020, there were people who were paid to show up to cause mayhem and to be part of things that escalated from, quote, peaceful to full-fledged riots, right? So when President Obama, former President Obama, is out there calling on people to do this, I think he's saying to them, okay, what happened over here? Obviously his statement was a week before, but I think you can look at what happened four windows down from where I'm sitting right now and say, okay, they're just fulfilling what he was kind of egging them on to do.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was very appalling to me to see the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, who did not carry this as a page one story. Rather, today, their page one story is on Wisconsin doctors eyeing the placement of an abortion clinic over the Illinois border if Roe v. Wade is overturned and Wisconsin's ban on abortion takes place. You had to go a few pages into the paper, Jelaine, to find this story. Anti-abortion groups office target of arson. I mean, I can only imagine if this had been an abortion clinic, this would have been front page above the fold and would live on as a story all across this nation.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt at all about that, Jim. Absolutely not. I'm sorry to hear that. You were the first one to let me know that had happened that way. Shame on the Journal Sentinel online and in print. Shame on them. The story is not about the fact that if Roe v. Wade is overturned and we have our pre-Roe since 1849 law in place, and hopefully it's enforced, that they might have to go over to Illinois to find out if they could have an abortion. That's not the story. The story is that people who are promoting the killing of the unborn had took violent action against a group who has said for 36 years, that's wrong to kill an unborn baby. There's a better way. There's a better path. All life has value, worth, and dignity. That's the story. Shame on, I just repeat that, shame on the Journal Sentinel Online. To be honest with you, Jim, we've gotten better coverage and better positions, if you will, on the story with national news than we got there with the Journal Sentinel.
I understand. Tucker Carlson is covering this?
Tonight, yes.
Tonight, yep. on Tucker Carlson, he'll be covering it, and other national media as well. Friends, we're up against a break here again. Jelaine Appling is with us from Wisconsin Family Action. She is president of the organization. They were attacked yesterday. Their organization's offices were attacked yesterday with the smashed windows, the Molotov cocktails thrown in, the fire, and certainly the threat that is there. If abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either. And we'll have some more discussion after this break here. We'll also be opening up some phone lines here shortly for you to interact with our guest here today. But keep in mind, protest outside the justices' homes. Also, protests taking place even within churches across this nation. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Looking back at Dwight L. Moody's life, it is tempting to focus solely on what God accomplished through a common man from Northfield, Massachusetts. Preaching to millions, starting multiple schools, spearheading the Christian publishing movement, and inspiring men and women to Christian service is difficult to ignore. Yet surely, why God used D.L. Moody is as important as how God used him. In the book, Useful to God, author James Spencer presents 8 lessons from the life of D.L. Moody with practical applications for the reader. You'll see how he was surrendered, prayerful, studious, and more as he was consumed with a passion for lost souls. This book will challenge you to cultivate these characteristics in your own life. Useful to God is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, a pro-life group attacked on Mother's Day. That's our topic today on Crosstalk. This was posted on Wisconsin Family Action's Facebook page. I want to read to you some of the responses that have come in, and then we'll have Jelaine Appling comment on this. She's president of Wisconsin Family Action. On the public forum here, here's Sharon Schaefer. I totally don't agree with the violence that happened at your office, but I also don't agree with how you stick your noses in other people's medical decisions and health issues. Mind your own business. I hope the people that did the damage get caught and prosecuted. Here's another. Victoria Harper. I would never condone violence of any kind, but having an anti-abortion group in Madison is like putting a KKK office in Harlem. Get your religion off women's bodies. Here's a Pam Bledsoe. Many women with an unwanted pregnancy are willing to risk death in order to not be pregnant. I think people that are ready to die because of your stupid rules will not hesitate to use violence. Here's a Kat Gunter. Ms. Appling, are you apparently forgetting about all the violence your so-called pro-life group has committed or crowd has committed against women's clinics over the years? How does it feel to be a target because of your beliefs? Here's one more. This one is from Tony Wachowski. Oh, what a shame. Crystal fascist bigots got a little taste of the violence they subject others to. Jelaine, your response.
Well, violence. You know, there. Jim, there have been situations in this country. There are few and far between, but we've had situations where under the banner, if you will, of the pro-life movement, some atrocities have been committed, horrible things. Nobody's saying that's okay. You know, I remember organizations, pro-life organizations at the national and state level condemning those things soundly, okay? And they're few in number, fortunately, few in number. You know, the comparison is crazy. Our organization in particular has never, ever had any form of violence associated with us. We've never said it was appropriate, never been involved with it. Some of the other things, you know, medical decisions and health decisions. Let's make sure we make this statement and make it very clear. Abortion is not health care.
Yeah.
That is a decision that a woman makes, all right? Generally speaking, it's because of some diagnosis that the baby has had or timing of the pregnancy or something like that. The woman makes that decision, and an abortion has one goal. That is the destruction, the killing of a human life. That is the purpose. That's not health care, all right? Secondly, it's not about our, you know, my religious faith, my Christian faith does tell me that all life is sacred. God is the author of life. Every life has his image, bears his image, right? And therefore, it has inherent worth and dignity. But it's not just that. Let's talk about biology. Let's talk about the fact that as God designed us, life begins at the moment of conception. All of the uniqueness that we are as humans happens right then. That unique strand of DNA, different from the mother, different from the father, happens right then. You have a unique person. That's the biology. They don't like science and biology when it works against them. Right? This isn't about a medical situation. This isn't about strictly our religious beliefs being foisted on someone. These comments are amazing because part of the general tenor, as you read through those, Jim, was they wished on us the same ills they think that the pro-life community has foisted on others.
Yeah.
It's just not the same.
There have been some who've even suggested, well, maybe they did it themselves in order to gain this attention.
Yeah. That was one of the first things that came out was, oh, you guys set this up. This was a setup so you could make the left look bad, make the pro-abortion people look bad. You know, first of all, our immediate team, there's like 8 or 9 of us. I know where we all were at 6 o'clock yesterday morning. We were all home or already at church when this took place. We were all accounted for. We did not do this. I was stunned. Let me use a phrase that I've used before. I was both shocked and yet not surprised when I got that call, okay? I was shocked it was us. Out of all of the places that this could have happened all around the country, Jim, we had no reason to do this. We don't fear the left. We are not cowed into silence by their bullying and their intimidation. We are not going to go away because they did this. We would have gained nothing by destroying our own office. Yeah. I mean, this is how desperate they are, that they are trying to make it look like we did this. Now, maybe they do that. Maybe they set up these kinds of things for themselves to try to make us look bad. That's not how we operate.
Our phone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your questions for Jelena Appling, your comments on this story as it began to unfold yesterday morning on Mother's Day, as it pertains to the attempt to intimidate, to silence, to stop, to discourage, to somehow stop them from advocating for the sanctity of human life. Folks, keep in mind the scripture says it's God who said that he hates the hands that shed innocent blood. And certainly the actions that are taking place here are reprehensible, and they need to not only be denounced, but also a full investigation to take place. Oh, I mean, an investigation with teeth in it. I saw an article that was on the Western Journal. And they said, quote, the Madison Police Department understands members of our community are feeling deep emotions due to the recent news involving the United States Supreme Court. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes, Fox reported, our department has and continues to support people being able to speak freely and openly about their beliefs. But we feel that any acts of violence, including the destruction of property, do not aid in any cause, the chief said. Do not aid in any cause? Well, I mean, no, let's denounce them, saying we're not going to stand for this as Madison Police Department, or we're going to investigate this. We're going to find the perpetrators and bring them to justice. Wow. Let's go to the phone lines. The lines are packed here. Fran is calling in from Lake Mills, Wisconsin. Fran, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to the negative comments that were coming in, and it struck me, funny, not really funny, but that they were making comparison. You know, they say that we were supposed to keep our noses out of their business, that women should be allowed to do what they want. But yet, where were those people when we were fighting COVID and we were demonized for not taking the shot? You know, they didn't have a problem with interfering into our business.
Yeah, when that phrase, our body, our choice, doesn't hold up in that case. Yeah, indeed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. Indeed, Jelaine, a double standard.
Well, look, the left always has a double standard. And unfortunately, too often mainstream media gives them the opportunity to have special rights, special privileges, and live by the double standard. Yes, a great analogy, Fran, on that. Yeah, my body, my choice, until it crosses into what they don't want us to do or what they do want us to do.
Yeah.
Height of hypocrisy.
Beth is our next caller. Beth, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to make a comment. You know, Roe versus Wade is not a law to begin with. So, you know, that's one issue right there. And you know what? You know, Jelaine, I really am upset at the fact that this officer questioned you, asked you if you provoked it or something you might have done or said or whatever might have provoked the situation, when, in fact, it doesn't matter what provoked it. It's a crime. It's a crime, and they should follow up. I don't like them turning it on you, making it sound like, oh, you must have said or done something wrong that made these people angry. Well, it's not your job to make everybody happy in the world, for one. So the other thing is, too, you know, these people are hired hacks. I see it in the newspaper, you know, activists wanted. You know, so that's another thing. And you know what else? You know, they passed a law recently, I think under Biden, that anybody, you know, after the January 6th deal, that anybody that so-called provokes these, you know, enraging crowds and makes, you know, a domestic terrorist out of people, you know, doing harm, that they're supposed to be put in jail. Like, I guess the people that didn't do it are in jail. So, I mean, what's the deal with them questioning you? I mean, there's a crime that's been committed here. It's on the books. What is their problem? I mean, I'd really have a you know, a real issue here with now it's turned on you and you have to justify yourself, which you don't have to do. You're the victim. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Jillian?
Well, yeah, we need to hire her for our spokesperson, Jim. You know, first of all, Roe versus Wade is not a law. It's an opinion from unelected federal judges, right, or justices, right on target there. Secondly, you're right. They did ask me what we did might have done that would provoke this, and I think they did use that word provoke. And you are right about that. On one level, we weren't the perpetrators. We were the quote victims, and I don't mean that in the sense of we feel sorry for ourselves, but we were truly the victims of this crime. And she's exactly right, Jim. What we said about the situation with the leaked opinion was very measured. You got our press releases. That was a very measured statement that we issued on that.
Yes.
We didn't go around crowing and saying, oh, it's over and we've won and all that. No, we told people to take a wait-and-see approach and wait till the final opinion came down. So, there's a lot of accountability that needs to be done in this whole issue.
David is calling next. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim and Jolene. Thank you for standing for life all these years. And within the last 10 days, I was at the Planned Parenthood. I'm not just called it's Planned Taking Life on the Firewall Street here. So we need to be out there. And it says there's a scripture, in the Proverbs, those who love death hate me. And I don't like to say left or right. I like to say lost, L stand for lost, and are redeemed. So we need to try to get them to accept Christ and so that they can tell that all life comes from God. And he gives a married man and a wife the ability to procreate a child, procreate from our Creator. God bless you. Love you.
Thank you, David, for the call here. And certainly we're seeing the depravity of man. And Jelaine, I know you'd agree with David that it's a heart change that is needed here, a heart transplant, one that's forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, Jim. We don't hold hatred or animosity towards the people who did this. We're angry that it happened, and we do want justice. But that doesn't mean that we are oblivious to the fact that these people obviously do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the most important question they will ever have to face. What will they do with Jesus?
Yeah.
And our prayer is that they will hear the gospel and that they will seek forgiveness of their sins. That would include what they've done to us, but far more than that. And that they would one day find themselves in heaven with the Lord rather than in hell because they refused that gift of salvation.
We've got Ann calling next from Shorewood. You're on the air, Ann.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was just going to, first I was going to mention about Proverbs, the sixth chapter, but Jim already, you already covered that. But now I want to tell you that I've been listening to Jelaine and yourself, Jim, for years, but today, and Jelaine, I've been listening to you for a long, many years and what you have to say, and today I just hear a very, very renewed, beautiful passion in your voice for biblical values and the preservation of God's beautiful children. And I just have to tell you, thank you so much to the both of you for everything that you're doing. And I will continue to stay on my knees for the unborn children. I grieve about it every day, but I know God has a plan. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And, Jelaine, this doesn't cause you to be intimidated or to give up?
No, and thank you, Anne, for those very kind comments. No, this does not cause us to be fearful, and we'll take some appropriate steps. I'm looking out the window right now. We got more investigators and news people wandering around the building.
Yeah.
But no, we're not afraid. We'll stand strong and be bold.
Friends, we're going to take a quick 60-second break. We'll take more of your calls in our final segment here. Jelaine Appling from the organization Wisconsin Family Action that advocates for marriage, family, life, and liberty. More in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. I have spent several years researching the topic of brainwashing, literally 30 years. And I have studied, among other things, the brainwashing of the American POWs during the Korean War. What I have found by studying the research provided by our own government and the doctors that interviewed the men that came home, the communists used a three-pronged approach: formal education, a formal communist education, self-criticism and criticism of America, and 3, censorship of reality and truth. All 3 of these are happening in America today. Our kids are getting a formal communist education in rows, sitting in classrooms, lined up. They're taught to criticize the free market system, their own Christian values, to consider themselves racist and haters and having white privilege. And then the censorship of reality or truth. What is real truth? The communists are doing in America what they did to our POWs in the Korean War.
We're talking with Ghislaine Appling this afternoon, president of Wisconsin Family Action, and they were attacked yesterday on Mother's Day. Not only with extreme violence against their facilities, but also with threats. If abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either. Ghislaine, for those, and we'll get to calls here in just a moment, for those who'd like to be in contact with your organization, give us some methods that they can do so, not only to find out more, but certainly I'm sure many want to assure you of their prayers and support as well.
Well, thank you, Jim. One of the best ways is to follow us on Facebook. We're very active on there with us today. And that's Wisconsin Family Action, or check out our website at wifamilyaction.org, or they can also email us at info@wifamilyaction.org. And our phone number is 888-378-7395.
One more time in the phone number.
888-378-7395.
Again, folks, on Facebook, Wisconsin WI Family Action. Also, their website, wifamilyaction.org, email info@wifamilyaction.org, and phone number 1-888-378-7395. Mark is calling from Newark, Ohio. Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. And I like to say to her that I'm sorry to hear what happened, because people that don't believe in the Lord does not believe in sanctity of life. I know this for sure because I have talked to some people. I witnessed to some folks that were not Christians, and they considered the fetus in the womb a parasite. And I know where you're coming from, where that hatred from Roe versus Wade is coming from. It's because they don't think of life as life. They think of it as a parasite. And that shocked me when I heard that. And I told them, you know, you're going to have to face judgment one day comes for your actions. But hopefully that you read, listen, and understand what people are talking about by life.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark, for that. And Ghislaine, again, let's follow the mantra, follow the science. Life begins at conception. You stated that earlier. This is not a parasite. This is human life we're talking about.
Well, it is. They wouldn't talk about life that way if we were talking about dogs or cats or, you know, animals, especially today, with the way we almost worship them and treat them like people. But what a lamentable position to have. Of a mindset to think that a baby is a curse, that a baby is, as he said, a parasite. But what we're seeing, Jim, is the thrusting of the fist in the face of our Creator God, saying, "You did it wrong. You are not good. You are not just." And these are people who, short of a true born again experience, are facing a terrible eternity.
Yes. Yes. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Let's see. Holding longest, we've got Jerry in Whitewater. You're on the air.
Yeah, the people that did this, they're following Satan. They're evil people, people that are condoning this type of activity. It's just pure evil. Ghislaine is not the target. That's not going to accomplish anything by attacking Ghislaine or any other ministry. They're going to have to answer to God. They're going to have to realize that you better start fearing God. God is the one that ordained life. He is the one that said that he wonderfully formed you in his mother's womb, not Ghislaine. This is God that is the one that they're going to have to answer to someday, and they better start fearing God. People need to to be praying for Jelaine and all the other pro-life people throughout the world, because this is not going to end. Satan, he is determined to get his way, and we need to get on our knees, and these people need to repent. God can still forgive them, but they got to realize that there is a God that gave them life. He gave them life to do the things that they're doing is just heinous, and they need to wake up and realize and start fearing God. Don't fear Jelaine. You're not going to.
Yeah, I tell you what, we got your point here, and we're down in a couple of minutes. Jelaine, his message about fearing the Lord, don't fear the one who can destroy the body, but the one who can destroy both body and soul.
Oh, that's exactly right. That's what I said earlier, Jim. This is spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're fighting against all the things that we know, the principalities and all of that. We're just the human target, okay? I don't know why they chose us, other than we're in Madison and we're incredibly accessible, right? You know, we've been hidden who we are and what we do. But no, I'm not the target. We organizationally aren't the target. They're fighting against a righteous, holy God who said, I am the one who created life. I am the one who ordained male and female. This is a almost like a last gasp effort on their part to retain the right to, quote, legally murder a child in utero.
Yeah. We've got Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Boy, the left wing is definitely not brave, but they do make up for it by talking stupid. That guy gets up there and talks about safe abortions. Abortions have never been safe.
No.
Someone's always murdered at the end of it. And as for Tony Evers, if he was against violence, he wouldn't be carrying water for those baby murderers in the first place.
Yeah.
And as for Josh Call, this isn't the first time I've heard this from an attorney general. He's convicted out of his own mouth. He's the number one law ignorer in Wisconsin, and he needs to step down.
Thank you, Brad,
Thank
for the
you.
Comments. Here, let me, Dean in Janesville, we're going to make room for you. We've got about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I don't know why women don't think, I'm not going to abort. My baby, my mother did not abort me. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. And, Jelaine, so many options that are available, but killing the baby in the womb is not one that needs to be pursued.
No, that's not the option. We need to talk more about adoption. We need to ensure these women, especially post-Roe, Jim, that there are safe places to go, pregnancy resource centers, churches. We need to be extending a hand of help and compassion to make sure they don't take the life of the unborn baby, and give other, you know, either keep the baby and raise the baby safely, or put the baby up for adoption. Such a better option. Thank you for allowing us to talk about this today, Jim.
Indeed. And Jelaine, our prayers with yourself, Wisconsin Family Action, and the ministry as a whole. And again, folks, if you can reach out to wifamilyaction.org, the website, WI Family Action, Facebook, 1-888-378-7395. Jelaine, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
And stay in the line, please.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.